You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, July 14th, 2025. Parker Olson producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, standing by in Eau Claire, Dr. Kristen Lyerly in the Green Bay area, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us as well to talk about the forecast for the start of this week. And Brittany, we'll just get right into it, because the forecast for yesterday, it didn't matter what the forecast was. You're going to get smoke no matter what up here. It was super heavy, and it was just best not to even try to go outside until later when it dissipated. And we'll talk a bit about that, about some members of Congress writing a letter of complaint to Canada. I mean, talk about a case of old man shakes fist at cloud. But the larger concern for us here is, while it has certainly dissipated, you know, since its peak yesterday afternoon, are we kind of past that peak? Or I know these things kind of come and go in cycles. What are we looking at from that standpoint as we head into the rest of the weather forecast for today?
Absolutely. So one of the main things, I don't know if you've noticed, it seems like either we get a stormy, hot and humid kind of day, or we get the more comfortable but wildfire smoke hazy days. And that's happening because of a high pressure system. So as the high pressure system moves into the area and we've got a prevailing wind mainly out of the northwest from the Canada direction, it starts to pull in that air right to Wisconsin. And then the high pressure system actually sinks and calms the air. So it's pulling everything way up high in the atmosphere down to the ground and allowing it to settle. And that's where we are really breathing it in and feeling those effects. So today, yes, we still have a high pressure system covering a majority of the state. A lot of the bad or worse air quality is staying stuck to the east side and far up north. So pretty much by the lakes right now. We are still seeing it kind of wanting to increase to a moderate to unhealthy level still through this afternoon and into this evening, again, especially north and east. So statewide, that wildfire smoke air quality alert is still in effect, and we can expect another sunny but hazy type of day. It will be warm, but it will be dry. Highs will hit the mid-80s all across the state, and it's going to be slightly sticky and humid, especially off to the west and right where this front is draped. We have a stalled front over northwest Wisconsin right now, and it's going to ever so slowly nudge in towards central Wisconsin, more north-central, by this evening. Some showers, maybe a tiny isolated storm could spark from that. Chances are very, very low. That is the chance, and that's kind of that front there. So once that moves through, we'll start to see some better air quality conditions. But for now, especially south of that front, it's not looking too good today.
All right, let's check the mailbag here from Tigerton. Rob says, good morning. It's sunny and hazy and 65. I got my lawn jobs in Wittenberg today, battling the smoke. I had a mowing job Saturday afternoon after getting 0.6 inches of rain Friday night. It's the 30th anniversary of the 1995 heat wave that hit Wisconsin from July 12th to 15th. Seven people died there. He says, congratulations, Pat, on your 600th show and letting me be a part of it. It is must-listen radio every weekday morning. He says, today is my sister Debbie's birthday. She is 54 years old. Well, you may not get another birthday now after sharing your sister's age on the radio like that, Rob, but that's okay. Rob also said, as part of Lasagna Awareness Month, he made lasagna yesterday for supper, and he does try to cook there. He said he took a picture of the sunset Saturday with the smoke and haze, and it made Channel 2 in Green Bay. That sunset last night up here through that smoke, I mean, that sun was huge and so red.
Yes.
And gorgeous, to be honest. But
I was going to say, that's the only positive of the wildfire smoke, I feel.
Yes, that really is exactly it. Let's see. Alicia says, happy 600th episode here. Let's see, from Joe in Superior. Oh, we talked about in our last segment, the Who as an opening act for Herman's Hermits back in the day. Joe says, my wife from Babbitt, Minnesota, attended the Herman's Hermits Who concert in Duluth as a young girl, and she was shocked when they smashed their guitars. I don't know if the Who was doing that at the Herman Hermits show. Maybe, I guess, you know, that would be a shocking thing coming off of Herman's Hermits. Text from Rosemary and Oliva. What three states is Civic Media now broadcasting from? We mentioned earlier about Civic Media expanding and now has stations in Michigan and Minnesota as well. So the empire just grew. Brittany has so many more places where she's got to do a forecast for.
But I know. But hey, it's nice because Minnesota, we always get their stuff. So it's easy, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, so it's like pre-casting for all, yes, of us. You know, you're up to the challenge. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. A reminder, as always, you can subscribe to the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner on top of the homepage. You can get our weekday newsletter, and you can get the Sunday morning politics newsletter that I put together. And we have already received a lot of responses to our question of the week, which I have to say, I kind of came up with on a lark as I was writing the newsletter. And it's the consternation over the winner of the Democratic mayoral primary in New York City, Zoran Mamdani, and people saying that he is just taking the party too far to the left, like AOC and Bernie Sanders and all those, and that it's going to turn off moderates and it's going to cost Democrats elections. However, there is also a contingent that is so happy to see some Democrats not be so squishy anymore and actually say what you stand for because it is in line with the values of a majority of Americans. So which is it for Democrats? Are they going too far to the left, or is that just right? Or is the party a big tent and it's got room for everybody? So we joke about Democrats in disarray. We have certainly seen Republicans in disarray. We're talking about the Democrats this time in our question of the week. So sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, or send us your thoughts by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put something in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube where you can watch us live doing this little shindig every day. Selena Heller does some of that reporting for us at Up North News, and one of the stories she's been working on lately deals with farmers who have been watching President Trump's trade war with our trading partners, allies, and friends, because why wouldn't you declare war on your friends, right? And the uncertainty that's brought to farmers. Now, Selena, the White House promised 90 trade deals in 90 days with 90 countries. And the correct answer so far is almost one. There's one trade deal that is almost official and not much else. And Selena, you talked to farmers who would certainly like a little bit more certainty when it comes to their ag export markets.
Oh my goodness, yes. And, you know, I talked to them like in the fall too, and it was kind of the same message. It's things need to be stable and not all of this uncertainty and changing and what can we plan for? It's so hard to plan for the future and buying their supplies and, you know, for their fields. And I mean, just everything, they just need some certainty. And there are so many variables in farming, like, you know, the weather. So they'd like, just like something to be something that they can grab a hold of and plan for. So, yes.
And so you talked to, are we hearing just from one Chippewa County farmer in this clip?
A couple of them. Two. Les, okay. Danielson is from Cadott. And then we were at the Peck family farm, which is just outside of Chippewa Falls. And that is Jeff Peck. And he talks about all of that too. And Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Baldwin, came for a visit to the farm. And they talked to her about kind of all of the problems that they can potentially have with all of this uncertainty.
So here's here's a little 2-minute clip compilation of the people that she talked to about the uncertainty that Wisconsin farmers continue to face today.
As you disrupt our trade, it's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. Just, you can't emphasize enough.
It takes a long time sometimes to build those relationships, but you can break them pretty quickly. You gotta be a good neighbor. You know, it's still business at the end of the day, so we have to have good business deals, but you also got to go about it in the right way.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin toured the Peck family farm in Chippewa Falls and talked with local producers and farmers about how Trump's trade war is hurting their operations and causing uncertainty.
You know, farms are usually a very narrow margin and sometimes, unfortunately, a negative margin. So anytime you have uncertainty and prices jumping around, that just is an extra challenge that we would prefer not to have.
When you look at Wisconsin, rural, the northern part of Wisconsin, the central part of Wisconsin, a lot of the money that comes into these counties comes from ag commodities, whether it be corn, soybeans, or beef. That's what keeps these small towns in business, like Thorpe, Stanley, Gilman. You know, that's what they survive on, is the farmers doing well. So it's really important that we maintain these trade agreements, that we're able to export our ag products and keep the prices up, because that's what supports rural America.
In the first months of his administration, President Trump launched a trade war with Wisconsin's three largest trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China, increasing input costs, cutting off export markets, and making it harder for farmers and producers to plan for the future.
The biggest problems we have is we don't know the cost of our inputs, whether it be our fertilizer, our crop protection products, like our chemicals. A lot of those come from China, a lot of our fertilizer comes from Canada. Then on the other end of the scale, a lot of our products are exported. 20% of our soybeans last year went to China. 5% of our ethanol goes to Canada. And as we have disruptions with our major buyers, where we're going to sell our product.
The president campaigned on bringing grocery costs down, bringing other costs down. And the policies that he's put forward have been producing just the opposite result.
I didn't think we'd have this many problems with our allies like Canada and Mexico. I'm not surprised some of the other countries, but do we have any friends? You know, is it America first or is it America alone?
And I think that was the perfect way to end this. Is it America first or America alone? And people are seeing that one thing that Donald Trump promised on the campaign trail is turning into something a little bit different here. And now with that recent trade deal deadline passing, we still don't know what's next. Do they extend the deadline? What does this mean? And again, if you're trying to plan, you know, say, what are you going to plant next year, or how many cows you're going to milk, anything like that, there's still nothing new from this White House that helps farmers know what they can expect for a business plan.
Yeah, and of course they knew all of this was, they expected all of this to come just exactly as it played out. And like I talked with Les last fall, and it was kind of like I talked to him that day, and he said, and I said, you know, this is exactly what you expected. And he said, yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. But anytime they can kind of try to get the word out how important farms are, no matter who it is, to anybody, any legislator that will come, they will try to tell the importance of farms in a community.
And by the way, it's not just farms. Kristen and I have talked about things like occupations, tourists, medical students. With tourism down, international tourism is down, international education is going to be down, which, and then the limits on loans, Kristen, for student loans, there's absolutely nothing there that indicates anything but a continuing shortage in many areas. Medicine right up there at the top of the list.
It's true, but I want to go back to farmers because we all come from farmers. I mean, Pat, your wife grew up on a dairy farm. My mom grew up on a dairy farm that my uncle still owns. Selena, we are all from farmers. And what do you know about farmers? They're not political. They're incredibly practical, and they will roll with the punches until they just can't roll anymore. And that's what they've done for generations and generations. And they have hit a breaking point right now where our leaders are not supporting them, just lip service. All they're getting is lip service. They need support, because if they don't get support, we don't get food. We have to support our farmers.
Yeah. Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well. A local update is next for some of you. And then we'll continue along here live from Lake Wissota, from the heart of America's Up North. Thank you for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Let's talk Milwaukee Brewers for a bit here at just about 7:23 on this Monday morning. Freddy Peralta carried a no-hitter into the sixth inning and gave up only one run while Jackson Churio and Bryce Durang homered back-to-back, and the Brewers extended their winning streak to seven games, including 6-0 on this most recent homestand. With an 8-1 victory over the Washington Nationals yesterday, the Brewers have 56 wins at the break, the most in team history. Recall that the Brewers were 21-25 back on May 17th, four games below 500. They'd been shut out for the fourth time in five games. Since that time, the Brewers have the best record in baseball, 35-15. There was some bad news yesterday. Right fielder Sal Frelick left the game in the third inning after making a sliding catch in foul territory. The team said he had left hamstring soreness. He's got a few days to try to heal up and get better because, again, of the All-Star break. The Brewers will be back at it on Friday in Los Angeles once again against the Dodgers. You can catch the Brewers on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more, civicmedia.us. Before we paused, we were talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller about some of the farm routes that folks have. Some lasted longer than others. My family's farm routes go back to South Dakota. And one day, and I don't remember what precipitated it anymore, but I remember my grandpa packed up his wife and the four kids and said, "That's it. We're moving to Minneapolis." And there was, you know, great consternation, but he was done. Moved to the Twin Cities and had been there ever since. Others lasted a little bit longer, in part because in South Dakota, there ain't nothing to raise but dirt. But Selena, yours was what? Beef cattle, horses, pigs, things like that?
Yes, all of those things.
Okay.
At a horse show last week, just kind of getting back to the roots.
And, well, when I saw you at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on Friday, you were on your way to the animal barns, if I recall.
Yes, we love the animal barns. There was
now,
some
wait. Do we love the animal barns when you were taking Emery or not? Because I know when my mom used to take me to the barns at the fairs, I'd be like, I don't want to. I would throw such a fit. I'm like, I want to go on the rides. I want all the sticky food. But nope, you had to go to the animal barn. So was Emery a willing participant in this?
Absolutely. She has to go to the barns and see all the animals. We one of our days last week, she was in a horse camp also. So she got to ride horses in her horse camp, and it was the best.
All right. And Kristen, you've got roots in Kakana, and you see all the folks around you working so hard every day to not deserve this kind of uncertainty that they're getting right now.
Yeah, but my mom grew up north of Fond du Lac in Pebbles, if you're familiar. And their family had a family dairy farm. And all my uncles and, I mean, historically, those are my people. Mm-hmm. So I got to see the hard work. Although for me, I loved the animals, but my grandpa never really let me milk. So I just mostly played with the cats in the barn.
But at least you got to be there.
Yeah, I got to see it.
Alicia writes in on YouTube, "I loved the barns when I was a kid and still love them." And she says about all the talk from politicians, "Yep, it's all lip service and it makes me beyond furious." But again, I would add, by the way, for the folks that go, "Well, farmers deserve what they get for supporting Trump, blah, blah, blah." No, they don't. There are a lot of people that voted for Trump the first and the second times, believing that he was going to do some of these things that he never had any intention of doing. But he made it sound good. And it's understandable that there are people now going, "Wait a minute, the guy that said he was going to, fight Wall Street for me now turns out to be just another Wall Street guy." And it's tough to learn that the hard way. But look, that's what happens in campaigns, is some people hear the promises. And I know you, Kristen, you've talked to people. They want to believe the promises that are being made to them, even if some of us would have told them, no, don't believe that. People want to believe.
I think they're just looking for something different. Mm-hmm. And they see Donald Trump and his promises and the way that he markets himself. And they think maybe he's going to do something different than this government that I don't think is working for me. And, frankly, it hasn't been. When you look generationally at how things have changed over time, the baby boomers have it made. They've created a society that works for them. They have Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. What does Gen Z have? What do they have to look forward to? government has not provided for them. So it is not surprising to me that people in places like rural areas where they don't have resources and they're looking at their towns, their small businesses moving in the direction that they don't want to see, it's not surprising to me that they voted for something different. But what they were sold and what they are receiving is entirely different.
Yes. And look, it's not just Donald Trump. The representation that they were expecting from somebody like a Congressman Derek Van Orden, who, again, yesterday was nursing his Twitter addiction. As of 8:30 last night, he had tweeted more than 30 times. I don't know what else.
Something better to do, like actually work for the people or spend some time in his district talking to people?
You would think. I mean, and the same thing up by you with Tony Weed, who is not a prolific tweeterer, but again, you know, could be doing something else other than supporting a bill that they're then warning people about when they come back home. And just frankly, again, in your district up there in the 8th, the 3rd over here, the 7th up north, folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, and I can think of two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down, is to send a letter complaining about the smoke. So we are going to discuss that in our next segment. We'll also get into a bit about the EAA Air Venture, which starts in Oshkosh 1 week from now. Up North News reporter Selena Heller, thank you for the update on your story from the farms here around the Chippewa Valley. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little bit later on.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. So much more still ahead. First, the Midwest Farm Report across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. $7.35 back here on the Civic Media Radio Network, or perhaps you're listening later on as a podcast or watching us later on Facebook or YouTube. Well, a reminder, if you're not one of those people potting us, you can head over to Spotify and sign up to follow our show as a podcast. You can do it at Apple as well, or any of those other places where you get your favorite podcasts. And I know that there's at least one new subscriber on Spotify, because in visiting my mom yesterday, Kristen and Parker,
Patrick,
one of my sisters set her up on her iPad with Spotify so that she could listen to her music, meaning the 50s and 60s, you know.
There you go.
And so I said, oh, let me see that. I looked at her Spotify, clicked a couple of buttons and said, congratulations, you're my newest subscriber.
Padding your stats. I like it.
Yep. Hey, I will come to your house too and do the same thing if you like. Just let me know.
Already like that, Pat. Yep. He's on the radio again.
Well, she normally listens over, you know, like Facebook instead or something, but now she's got a new way to do it. So good. Good for you, Mom. Good job.
Hi, Mom.
letting your son borrow that iPad for just a moment here. I mentioned a minute ago that there were members of Congress, including two from Wisconsin, who felt the need to send a letter to Canada. That would include, let's see, it was Tom Tiffany and Glenn Grothman, who joined with some other members of Congress from Minnesota, sending a letter to complain about wildfire smoke. And they blamed, quote, the lack of active forest management for the spread of the wildfires. And the letter goes on to say, our constituents have been limited in their ability to go outside and safely breathe due to the dangerous air quality the wildfire smoke has created. In our neck of the woods, summer months are the best time of the year to spend time outdoors, recreating, enjoying time with family, and creating new memories. But this wildfire smoke makes it difficult to do all these things. I might have added some dramatic flair to that, but how do you suppose that letter was received by the Canadian Forest Service, Kristen.
It's embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. And it sparked a robust response from the Premier of Manitoba, who accused the members of Congress of trivializing the efforts to battle the fires. And he writes, "This is what turns people off politics. When you've got a group of Congress people trying to trivialize and make hay out of a wildfire season where we've lost lives in our province. I have shaken the hands of American firefighters in northern Manitoba who are helping us out, and I would challenge these ambulance chasers in the U.S. Congress to go and do the same and to hear how much the American firefighting heroes who are here love our province." I mean, it really was about the least neighborly thing you could expect Tiffany and Grothman and the others to do.
First of all, if you have a breathing disability or disorder, please take care of yourself. The air quality is not good. So seek shelter, wear a mask, stay in your house where you have filtered air. This will pass. Second of all, oh, Canada, I'm so sorry. Did you see the ad that the Quebec tourism folks put out about America?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a fella who's checking into a Quebec hotel, and she asks, "Where are you from?" And he says, "I'm an American." And she goes, and she hits a button under her desk, and the desk opens, and she walks out and just gives him a hug. And it says, "Americans, you are welcome. Please come and visit us here in Quebec." And it is so beautiful because they know, they understand. Every Canadian that I've talked to understands that this is not how Americans are, but it's how our leaders are acting. And it is just, it's embarrassing and it's so, so wrong.
Yes, it is. Our leaders and just enough Americans, and many of them were at the Turning Point conference over the weekend to, again, put on a display worthy of our apologies to Canada and others. Congressman Tiffany put up on Twitter, "Another weekend of Canadian wildfire smoke and air quality warnings across Wisconsin and Minnesota. With today's modern tools to prevent wildfires, this shouldn't keep happening." By today's modern tools, I think we know what Tom Tiffany means by that. You know, Captain Clearcut, Captain Extraction, who probably believes that the next step for Canada should be a series of strip mines. Because after all, you can't have forest fires if there are only holes in the ground where the forest used to be, right? Pretty smart guy.
It's so hard to believe that this is a fella who represents a part of the country that depends on forestry as a primary industry. It is either the first or second most important economic driver in the state of Wisconsin. So Tom Tiffany should be smarter. Turn to the foresters and learn what this means. Yes, there is responsible forestry management, but that doesn't mean clear cutting. That doesn't mean that all the underbrush needs to go away. That seems neat if you are somebody who lives in a suburban area and wants to clean up your yard, but that's not how forests work. So maybe Tom Tiffany needs a little education. I suspect quite a few of our Congress people do.
Well, that their education is just, you know, what does industry want? And let's just give that to them and that will take care of our problems. No, it will create a whole new series. And you know, we don't need to talk about what they want to do to groundwater. Let's just be concerned about what they want to do to our forest to get to the groundwater.
Yes. And industry, actually, much of the forestry industry is into conservation. They work hand in hand with conservation efforts with the DNR because they recognize that they have to have sustainable forests if they're going to have a future in the industry. So don't be fooled. They are not actually even representing forestry as a profession and as an economic driver in the state.
Yeah. Hey, EAA Air Venture starts a week from today down in Oshkosh. Woo! Is that, I have not attended. Have you?
Once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really an airplane person, but it is a huge deal.
It is a very huge deal. And I was looking at the Oshkosh Northwestern here, and they've already got a preview for the 72nd edition. Justin Marville put it together for the Northwestern, said that two Goodyear blimps are set to make their return to Air Venture. All the air shows will begin coming up next Monday as well. Let's see, there will be 700.
Wait, look at Parker's face. Parker's like having a moment right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Did you say there's going to be two blimps there?
I said two Goodyear blimps, marking Goodyear's centennial anniversary of flying airships.
Aren't there like seven blimps in the world?
That's how blimp-worthy this event is.
It's blimp-worthy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Yes.
That's wild.
It's described in his article as essentially flights Disney World, with the pomp and spectacle of the aeronautics industry, from flying cars to fighter jets and flight simulations.
It's really cool. Even if you're not into planes like me, it's still really cool.
Yeah, there will be 860 exhibitors, 98 countries represented at least, and like I said, about 700,000 visitors. And, you know, I should let this go at this point, because you know who's going to really want to talk about it in less than 30 minutes is going to be Brittany Merlot, who like camps, like literally camps there, you know, when she can. So,
she's an EAA fangirl.
Yes. Alicia writes on YouTube, I got to find the photos from my first EAA air venture. And she also says, I think we need to sit these members of Congress down to watch the Lorax, talking about, you know, what's happening with the forests in Canada and everything else.
I think they could understand it on that level.
Whatever it takes, frankly, at this point, to try to get some kind of a message through to them. Over the weekend, again, you were traveling and just got back, so I'm guessing you have not seen the new Superman movie that came out over the weekend here.
No. Tell me more.
Well, I was just looking at the weekend box office here, and it says that in a bid to kick off a new era for DC Studios, James Gunn's Superman opened with $122 million in U.S. and Canadian ticket sales over the weekend. The roughly on-target opening was the third largest of the year so far, and the first of the DC Comics to surpass $100 million in its opening since Wonder Woman back in 2017. But here's the thing. Ticket sales were relatively soft for Superman overseas. In 78 international markets, it grossed only $95 million, including in China, just $6 million in sales. Because, of course, it is a quintessential American character. And America's image, taking a bit of a beating here because of our own little Lex Luthor in the White House right now.
Oh, I like that analogy.
I did there, huh? Uh-huh. So you had Superman at $122 million, Jurassic World Rebirth at $40 million, F1 the movie at $13 million, How to Train Your Dragon raised $8 million, and Elio at $4 million over the weekend. Thought about that yesterday, that you could go to a nice air-conditioned theater, not have to worry about the wildfire smoke, and go see a movie. Would have had to get off my butt to do it, and there was just too much to get done around the house. And it actually was nice. I mean, it's one thing if it's like a rainy, stormy day, or there's a blizzard, or it's really cold, and you go, all right, this is a day for getting stuff done around the house. Yesterday, instead, it was like, well, it looks really bad out there. It's sunny, it's breezy, but that smoke, I mean, you'd step outside for a second, and you'd swear it was like somebody put a whole bunch of campfires in the lot next door. And we said, nope, let's just get things done around the house. And it's amazing how many little things that you've neglected around the house you can get to when the circumstances warrant it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you're given permission to stay in the house. Like, probably not a great idea to be outside, as much as in the summer, I want to be outside all the time. But on days like this, I think I might actually be able to empty my inbox today.
One more note about the weekend marked the 40th anniversary of Live Aid. And I have not asked you if Live Aid was something that you tuned into. Were you a part of? It seemed like this global phenomenon at the time, and I'll share my story in a minute, but do you have a Live Aid story?
Oh, it's not a story. I was just glued to the TV set because I loved all of that. That actually might be part of the reason that I do all of the philanthropic work that I do, because of what they did and why they did it. And those were all my heroes who were doing it. So they were modeling it for me.
They were. I mean, again, it was extremely altruistic. You're feeding hungry people in another part of the world. And you're doing it through two different concerts on two different continents, including, who was it? Was it Phil Collins that played both Wembley Stadium and was in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. Didn't he get on the Concorde?
Yeah, on the Concorde.
Yes.
You know, and it was just amazing. And my story is I was living, you know, going to UW-Eau Claire at the time, taking summer classes and living just off Water Street, which was not particularly a good thing to do if you were going to be studying over the summer, but somehow I managed to make that happen. And so my housemates and I, there were six of us living in the house, and we decided we were going to tape the whole thing on cassette tapes. And that way we were going to have, I mean, talk about a box set. We were going to have cassettes with the entire concert. And it was funny to watch us like hour after hour, like whose turn is it to replace the, oh wait, do we not have a tape? Well, we'll tape over this one. Yeah. We don't need this Huey Lewis in the news. We can buy a new one of those. We got to tape Live Aid. And it probably lasted 6 hours tops before we all just like, forget it. Okay. Let's just enjoy. Plus it was a nice day outside. So we would kind of come in and out. So we weren't glued the entire time, but it was an event. I mean, especially for people your age, my age, we were glued. We wanted to watch that. And like you said, it just made us feel better. Like there is a difference to be made out there in the world.
And fortunately now there's YouTube, so we can watch great things like Freddie Mercury and Queen and Radio Gaga. Amazing.
We don't need my cassette tape player. Exactly. A local update is next for some of you. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
. 7:52 on this Monday morning. It is July 14th, 2025, and time to talk a little bit of sports from over the weekend. Jimmy Cuska joining us now. Jimmy, how was your weekend?
Fantastic, man. I love this time of year. I know that a lot of people are looking forward to football, which I am. Obviously, eager anticipation. Coaching-wise, it's football season never ends, but this is an exciting time of year because we're kind of in that, we're fully in baseball mode, but I tell you, it's just a great time of year because it's summer, you're outside, you're doing stuff. I love this time of year. So,
well, especially it helps if you can sweep the Dodgers and then sweep the Nationals and carry a 7-game winning streak into the All-Star break. Brewers are the hottest team in baseball at the moment since late May, beating up on the Nationals again yesterday. It was just so exciting heading into the All-Star break. And we've talked about the game a couple of times here, but let's talk about the All-Star break for a second, because this fuss over Jacob Mizorowski being named to the All-Star roster after pitching only 5 games in the majors. Let's be honest, if he weren't pitching for the Brewers and on any other team, somebody had pitched only 5 games, I think we'd all be like, really? Is that supposed to be the case? It's just that Philadelphia being Philadelphia, they weren't really like, really? They were more like, ah, that sucked. What a jerk. And I enjoy, Jimmy, the pushback that Philly's getting over Jacob Mizorowski being named to the All-Star roster.
So, first of all, I want to take it back to last week. I think everybody knows Dan Patrick, veteran sportscaster, yep. One of the best in history at what he does. He talked about what has happened in sports media and how instead of ratings, which nobody cares about, people are driven by eyeballs and clicks and what's going to be the next viral moment, right? What's going to get you that 8-second viral reel on Instagram or TikTok? That's what sports media has devolved into, right? Well, sports in a way has kind of become that too, in this never-ending chase for attention from sports viewers. And what Jacob Mizorowski brings is interest for people that maybe aren't as interested before. You have 102, 103 mile per hour throwing fastball guy from Milwaukee who's come into the league and he's taken on some of the biggest pitching names of the game, gone toe-to-toe with them and come out on top in most of those appearances. So you have this amazing story happening, right? You have this rookie phenom, future star. This is what sports has become, right? So I don't fault Major League Baseball or the Brewers or Jacob Mizorowski for any of this, right? This is what sports and in general, like even with sports media, it's what it's become. We're in this never-ending chase, finding this clip, this thing that's going to hook people in. And this is a big hook. A rookie that's throwing 103 miles per hour. I mean, come on, that's pretty amazing. I know here in Wisconsin, obviously, we're loving this, right? But you got to look at this thing for the context of what is the All-Star game ultimately there for? It's to bring in the best and the most interesting players in the one spot to compete. And I it would be hard to argue having a rookie that throws 103 miles per hour with the early success he's had. I don't know what else you're going to find as interesting as that from a guy who's had, again, five starts, as you said.
And of course, you got the youthful enthusiasm as well. Kristen, you're a mother of four boys. It thought of you when they talked about, turns out that one of his big loves is Pokemon. I mean, that's adorable. That's not what I would have heard about the baseball players when I was growing up. It also didn't exist back then. But again, it makes him very relatable, and it again highlights his youth, which is certainly something that we want to embrace, the next generation of people coming on board. It's just a great story, top to bottom, for this kid.
Yeah, I'm thinking, who's his favorite Pokemon? Is he a Pikachu kind of guy? That's the only Pokemon I can name.
I don't know.
I'm very relatable to the Pokemon thing. I'm very relatable. I have two kids of my own that are big into it. I myself am big into it. You know, it's funny. The Brewers and Major League Baseball have tapped into that a bit, and it's great timing for them. They're actually hosting a Pokemon theme night next week. So
that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's funny. It's Pokemon Go, the game that took over everything 9 years ago.
Yes.
A game of which I play very, very consistently. which I maxed out it. So I also am a Pokemon guy, so I'm a big fan of that from him too. But again, you go to the point of the Brewers and where they're at this time of year. I mean, Mizorowski, Peralta, and Megill there. You have three Brewers pitchers. You could argue the Brewers should have four All-Stars with Frelick. It's a fantastic week when you talk about the Brewers. And also the fact that here at the All-Star break, they've set a record for the most wins they've had at this point in the season with 56. Yeah, so 56. It's all good things right now in Milwaukee.
It truly is. And yes, it would have been nice to have Sal Frelick on the All-Star roster. At this point, we just want him on our roster later on this week after making that sliding catch and leaving the game with what is called left hamstring discomfort. That does not make me feel good, Jimmy.
That's something that would put me on the injury report, not a professional athlete. So
yeah, so
come
I'm
on,
really...
guys. Rest, ice, compression, elevation, rice, back on the field.
Listen to this. The doctor's like, rub some dirt on it. It'll be just fine, you know? So here's hoping, because the Brewers will be back in action Friday in Los Angeles against the Dodgers, and you'll be able to hear those games on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jimmy, there's also the Major League Baseball draft going on. What can you tell us about the early Brewers picks?
Sure. So the Brewers have had five picks in the first three rounds. They get two of those picks for losing free agents last year. And the first one, in the first round, they took Andrew Fisher, who's a corner infielder out of Tennessee. They took a corner infielder out of Tennessee last year. They took Andrew Fisher this year, who's projecting more as an offensive guy with some pop. And then with their competitive balance pick, the one they got for losing Willy Adames, they get Brady Ebel, who's a third baseman, shortstop, high school player, whose father is actually a coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So that's who they get in the first round. They then pick three pitchers in the next two rounds combined, two lefties and a righty. So they've addressed things that they normally do in the draft. Their first round pick, by the way, with the Andrew Fisher out of Tennessee, is a guy who's going to come in under their slot value, which is why one of the big reasons they drafted him. That means they can use some of that money to sign some picks, including Ebel, a little bit over their slot value in the Major League Baseball draft. MLB draft is a lot different than like NFL, NBA draft. There's a lot of guys picked. There's a lot of weird rules, but the Brewers so far have done Brewers things in the draft.
And we love that. Jimmy Koska, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we will be talking to Green Bay area State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner and much more. Dr. Kristen Lyerly sticks around as well. An updated forecast from Brittany Merlot, too, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.